Want to take a look around and report back? It would give the others a chance to rest and calm frayed nerves. Jack was the most difficult to rattle. That was another reason Ryan asked him. Jack was quick to take Ryan up on his offer. One man on his own could move with a much greater speed than six, scrambling for the same amount of cover. Strange and conflicting feelings ran through the teenager. Something was wrong in the Ville. The buildings and streets had the feel of a place that had been empty for a long time. Jack knew what emptiness felt like, had known it since his wife and daughter, the homestead he had fought so hard to establish, had been snatched from him by the fates. Something had happened here that had emptied the suburb and the swamp. What it could be, he had no idea. He didn't know if his group was even up to facing it, whatever it was. All these thoughts passed through Jack's mind while he made his recon. Consciously, he was taking in what had happened to the suburb, something pretty big. The most obvious sign was the old Holiday Inn that the travelers had first scouted on their previous visit. That was before they had met Jack, and he knew the old hotel as something that his people had avoided. There was nothing much to loot there, and the rooms had been filled with pre-Skydark corpses, some mummified and grimly preserved. But it had been standing, almost untouched by the new cost, a marker to the world that had been left behind. But now, there was nothing but rubble, heaped high in the middle of a couple of outer walls that stood precariously, crumbling slowly in the oppressive humidity. Baron Termont and his sec force had never considered this building a threat, knowing that the locals stayed clear of it. But someone else obviously had it marked down as a target. Or perhaps it had been the site of a desperate last stand. Jack made his way across to the rubble. It had been this way for some time, and as he searched, he became aware of one odd fact. There were no bodies. Not the ones preserved after the nuke? No fresh sign of a slaughter that could explain the vacant town. Jack's sense of danger, honed by his hunting skills, was screaming at him. Not right here, right now, but close by. Something they could easily stumble into if they weren't careful. Moving with more speed and urgency, Jack completed his wreck and turned back to the area where the travelers waited for him. The farther he went in, the more evidence of blaster fire pitting the walls of the buildings. The more of those walls had been demolished by high explosive shells or grenades. The air was dead, with no remaining scent of cordite, plastique, or the stench of blood and death. This hadn't happened recently, but whatever had caused it had won the conflict and wouldn't be far away. Jack slipped back through the rubble toward the point where he had left the others. To stay here too long would be bad for the soul. Jack had never been a great believer, yet he could feel something, a kind of despair gnawing at him. Well, it didn't matter, not in the end. What mattered was that Jack got back to the companions, give them the lowdown, and get the hell out. JB was keeping watch, and he was surprised to see Jack moving freely and swiftly in the open.
Ryan, Jack's coming back, out in the open. Guess we can relax a little. The whole town must be empty.
Must have been some big firefight. Then everyone chilled and move on.
Yeah, or got moved on. Something with that much firepower wouldn't just leave them alone.
Not our problem. Looks like it was all sometime back. Putting the pieces together over what happened could be hard enough, let alone chasing it down.
I wasn't thinking about that. Look at it this way. Something with that much of an armory is going to be a strong force in these parts. Some baron who wants to stamp his authority.
Never met one who didn't.
Yeah, exactly. So how come we haven't seen any wandering sec? How come there's no sign of life at all?
I'm loath to raise the notion, as it is fearful in the extreme, but I wonder that it has not occurred to you, dear Doctor. To cause so much damage suggests an ample stock of pre-Skydark weaponry, correct? We are assuming this weaponry is purely in the form of blasters and explosives. But for such a firepower, the Baron must have acquired or discovered an extremely high-grade quality of arsenal. Would you not say so, John Barrymore?
By the sound of it, Doc. And we know that's likely, if not usual.
Precisely. Therefore, I find it not beyond the bounds of possibility that such a Baron could also have chemical or germ warfare weaponry in that arsenal. Such microscopic fiends, my dear friends, that could wipe out human life in the area.
Great. Cheer us up, why don't you, Doc? Are you saying that we could be next in line ourselves just by being here? And what about the swampies and the other wildlife that we've seen and heard?
The white coats were swine of an extremely high order, though I do fear that such a comment is a slur on the noble swine. Do you so soon forget the minions of Bob and Enid? Swampies are mutants, and as such their systems may be in some way immune. I know for a fact that the white coats had developed many strains of virus that would attack only human beings, leaving all else alone. Perhaps that is what has happened here, and it may have been long enough ago for it to have died out on its own. Indeed, it could be that those swampies we encountered were the first to venture into this land after being driven out by the chilling. I am, of course, merely speculating.
You are, of course, scaring the living crap out of us. You could be right, but we don't know. Look at us. We've been walking through this for a couple of days, more or less, and we don't seem to be any the worse for it. What problems we do have are down to fatigue and infection from cuts. It's a theory, but one we shouldn't take too much mind of.
My dear doctor, the last thing I would wish to do is spread alarm and despondency. That was not my aim. I merely thought...
Can it? We all know that, but it doesn't make it any easier.
Doc lapsed into silence, and Ryan took a look at his people. Doc's words had caused some doubts among them. You could see that in their faces.
To hell with this, people. We need to move out and make our way to the redoubt, if it's still there. Sooner we get away from here, the better.
Ryan had echoed Jack's thoughts, and the albino had his own reasons for wanting to move on. JB took a reading from his mini-sextant, and that, combined with their recollections from their previous visit to West Lowellton, determined the direction in which they would strike out for the redoubt. They began their march, knowing also from their last visit that they had a good distance to cover. It was past the middle of the day, well into the afternoon, and it seemed to Ryan that they would have another 3 or 4 hours before dusk fell and made setting up camp necessary. Each of them was wrapped in his or her own thoughts as they traveled. They fell into the usual pattern, with Ryan taking the lead, JB covering the rear. Ryan suddenly lifted his hand to halt them.
Incoming. Over to the left.
Swampies. Can smell them.
In the midst of the swamp, it was hard to find cover that didn't entail getting bogged down in mud and stagnant pools. There was no time for them to take the high ground. They had to stand their ground and fight as soon as they saw the enemy. In truth, they could hear them long before they became visible. The amount of noise they were making suggested that there might be an army of the muties making their way through the swamp. Blasters were leveled. Ryan held the Steyr as his main option, and JB opted for the M4000 over the mini-Uzi, figuring that a scattergun approach would be a benefit against the tight arc of SMG fire. As for the others, they held their hand blasters, knowing that they would have to make every shot count. The first of the creatures crashed through the undergrowth, flattening the plants. The creatures were dull, blank-eyed, and seemed to be operating on a kind of blind instinct that was guiding them to the travelers. The first of the swampies were male. They were pockmarked and covered in sores. Their clothes were tattered and stained. Their weapons consisted of antique and badly maintained blasters, mostly old rifles that were Lee Enfield 303s, stolen from a trader's stock before he and his crew had been eaten. They were moving quickly for swampies, but it was still slow enough for the companions to take aim to hit them with shots that would matter. Every shell would count. They fired in relay, leaving space to cover one another when the time came to reload their blasters, some having to reload more than others. Doc was able to take out two swampies with a shot chamber of the Lamar, and then to hit another, a squat fat woman with curling hair and a scar across her top lip, square in the forehead with the ball chamber. He had to take longer out of the firing room to reload, due to the nature of the Lamar. Mildred, Christy, and Jack took careful aim for the head, as that was the only sure way of halting the swampies with one shot. Mildred ZKR drilled neat holes in the foreheads of her targets, not a single of her shots going astray. Jack's .357 Magnum Colt Python wasn't as accurate, nor did it have to be. Christy Smith & Wesson was a .38 caliber, not as powerful. Nonetheless, at their limited range, it was effective, even if her shots were not dead center. Ryan Steyr was picking them off at long distance, leaving those nearer for his compatriots to blast, specifically JB. The M4000 was ripping through the swampies. There would be little left but blood and minced flesh by the time he was finished with them. The swampies tried to return fire, but the onslaught they faced made it hard to shoot accurately. They were confused. The air was filled with deafening blasts, piercing screams, and the stench of charred flesh. Rather than pull back and refocus their attack, they kept coming, wave after wave. Although Carter's people had not been fired on, they were still losing ground. The gaps in firing where reloading had to take place gave the Swampies moments to move forward. It was impossible to tell how many there were. They had to have been set on by a Swampy settlement. There were far too many of them for any mere hunting party. Gradually, the companions found themselves moving backward to try to get some space between themselves and the waves of Swampies, stumbling and falling on the marshy ground, sinking into the soft mud of the swamp.
Baird!
Jack heard a girl's voice, and then a volley of blaster fire, blunderbuss and shotgun fire. The firing was staggered, and as he continued to fire, Jack counted three separate weapons. The three fighters seemed to be moving to join the companions. The increase in gunfire made the Swampies think twice, and the remaining forces began to retreat. When they had vanished into the swamp, there was carnage laying before the assembled fighters. The mud was littered with corpses, the waters awash with blood.
Who the hell are you?
Huh. Well, that's some way to greet those who stopped you from being stew for those bastards. As for you, I never thought I'd see you again.
I don't know you.
Jack didn't recognize her personally, but he knew where she and her partners had come from. One of the men was short, with a barrel chest and a shaved head, a wispy beard tied in a knot hanging from his chin. The other was small, whip-thin like Jack, with tattoos on his bare chest and arms. He was clean-shaven, but had a long ponytail flowing down his back. The woman was shorter than the men, with full breasts that strained at her shirt. Long black hair and ringlets framed a face that had full lips and flashing dark eyes. These three people were from West Lowellton.
So you come back here when we're in shit, expect a welcome. Lucky we didn't leave you to it, Jack fucking Lauren.
Shut it, LaRue. No one gets eaten by Swampies, no matter who.
Lady, I don't want to interrupt this little family reunion, but can someone tell me what's going on here?
Hey, Blackie, don't remember you. No one eye, red, four eyes, no man. Where are the others? They die somewhere? It don't matter. What matters is that Jack went with you. Leave us after chilling Baron Tourmont. Only the work wasn't done. Someone else come and stir up problem. And where the man then? Gone.
How's I supposed to know that?
Supposed to stay. Help us.
Enough. Maybe this means something. We pray for a miracle. Lord sent Jack Long back. Maybe to sell old skull. Maybe to put things right. Come on. We go get dry. Eat. Then stir up some trouble ourselves.
The travelers fell in behind the trio of fighters.
So what do we call you, other than a big mouth?
Ha! I like that. Marissa. Him, LaRue. And him, Predo. And guess what? They don't like you. Me? I ain't made my mind up yet.
The three swamp dwellers took them farther into the heart of the bayou, away from West Lowellton and the area that housed the Swampy settlement. The path was a labyrinth, snaking between deep pools of stagnant water, covered with weeds and swamp plants that emitted an even fouler stench than the waters themselves. They crossed tracks of earth and squelched through mud puddles that sucked at the soles of their boots. Overhead, the sun was beginning to blush into the dusk of early evening, and as they went deeper into the swamps, they had to stay on the heels of the three natives in order not to fall prey to well-hidden quicksand. Marissa, LaRue, and Prideau moved quickly and with ease. The companions, exhausted and having to cope with a path that they didn't know in growing darkness, found it hard to match their speed. Only Jack was able to keep pace. There was no discussion, but they shared the same thought. Could they trust these three and whoever else was at their settlement? True, they had stepped in and helped drive back the Swampies, but they had been ambivalent about Jack's presence, and Marissa's comments about him being sent to them in a time of trial were a bit suspicious, as if she couldn't tell whether this was a good thing. They continued on. It seemed to most of the companions that they were going in circles, seemingly passing the same stagnant pool several times. But Jack knew differently. His childhood had been in the swamps, and there were few who knew the land as well as he. Right now, he could see that they were headed for the absolute heart of the swamp. It was the most treacherous, a land that had no settlements of old pre-Darkvilles anywhere near it. It was a dangerous place to live, but the perfect place to hide. So what, or who, were these people hiding from? The settlement was a collection of huts and tree houses that clustered around a pond that was about 150 yards in diameter. The pond was fed by a small river that ran in a trickle and supplied the settlement with as much fresh water as it needed, or at least water that they could boil and purify. They could see that there were some lamps and small fires going, but these were shielded by opaque materials to make detection from outside almost impossible. Unless you're on top of the settlement, you wouldn't see anything out of the ordinary. A pot-bellied man of about 50 stepped forward. He was holding a Sharps rifle, and it looked highly polished and cared for. He held it at attention, ready to take proper aim in a heartbeat. His eyes were slits, taking in the procession carefully, assessing any danger.
Hey, you okay? You put your weapons away. They okay. Found them blasting swampies. Gave them some help. Fuck, man, they tired and pissed off. Give them some slack. Let them rest up. Besides, you see who they got with them.
The companions were now by the side of the pond, and it didn't escape their notice that LaRue and Prideaux had moved into position that now flanked the group. With Marissa in front and the pond behind, the companions were surrounded. Not that it mattered. The villagers were clustering around, and they were all armed. Rough estimates showed that there were around 100 of them, and all looked less than friendly, if not outright hostile.
Damn, I recognize that little bastard.
This woman was a little older than Marissa. Other than that, the women looked very similar. Jack recognized this woman, though it took a second for her name to come back. Luella, that was it. She had been the wife of one of his old hunting partners, Luke, a man he couldn't see among the others.
I recognize you. Where's Luke?
Chilled about 2 years back. Same as most around here. Not many of us left didn't fall or go over to the old ways.
Old ways?
Voodoo, sweetie, or something like it.
Oh, it ain't really voodoo. Not like we learn it. Ain't no such thing as the old ways. Just ways of making the new look like it.
Listen, we don't even know why we're here, let alone what you're talking about. Maybe if you started at the beginning, then...
Ask Jack. Ask him what. But he won't be able to tell you, because he don't know. Don't know, because he stepped off with you and left us to it.
Mildred turned to JB.
Two things that are bothering me. First is that I don't know what they're so wound up about, and the second is that Jack isn't exactly Mr. Popularity around here.
Listen, least we do, give him food and shelter, then tell him what's happened. Maybe Jack will want to help.
Yeah, maybe he'll fuck off like before.